Airing the Addisons.
Let me say this, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to be careful and make sure that in everything, man, we are trying to get as close to what the word says as possible.
And we got to understand that with that type of wickedness, man, you know, God does not wink at that. That's judgment.
Promoting truth, wisdom, and empowerment.
And you don't have shades of truth. You have truth or you have error. You have fact or you have fiction.
And now we go into the thick of it.
Uh-oh. Erin Addisons.
On American Family Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And Sherry B is over in Studio CC. We will open up the phone lines, get your take on some of our conversation today. That's going to happen a little bit later in the show. Right off the bat, I have to say that there must be a strong word of caution for today's show. And as much as I hate to do that, I hate to exclude any of our listeners who may be able to kind of listen with younger kids, maybe in the background, or maybe you're, you know, in the car pickup line or whatever. And, you know, I never know where people are listening. And sometimes people are listening to the podcast. And if you listen to podcasts the way that I do, maybe you have your kids around. And so, like me, you might appreciate having a word of caution, as I do appreciate having a word of caution when there's going to be, you know, information that is particularly sensitive and not suitable for young ears, which is interesting because what we're going to talk about, I'm issuing a very strong caution, a very strong listener discretion warning, because it's not suitable for young listeners. But at the same time, what we're talking about today, tomorrow, and possibly on Wednesday is the fact that this is making its way to the ears of young listeners.
Right.
Is it? I mean, isn't that ironic that we have to issue a warning? I mean, I am compelled to issue a warning to you for the topic today. But at the same time, what I'm talking about today or what we're going to discuss today is being presented to our kids in schools across the country and increasingly so.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that, too. We're going to talk about some of the states that are making changes under the guise of what is called comprehensive sex education or sex ed curriculum. And another term that you would want to listen out for as it pertains to your kid's school would be modernized sex education.
It's crazy.
So and we're going to talk about some of the other buzzwords, because one of the ways that they try to keep us kind of out of the loop as parents is that they keep changing terms and then they keep offering these kind of secretive, you've got to be on the inside track to know what they mean when they say it. And then we hear it
Very
and
deceitful.
We think it's oh my goodness.
Deceptive. And the thing is, it sounds like things that should be, if at all, covered at home.
Will, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. So what they, exactly right. So this, my thing is this, and I know, and again, we'll open the phone lines up in the end to get your take on it. But let me tell you where I stand as a mother and as a parent. I don't see any place for what is called right now comprehensive sex ed at school, right? I would think that if a parent had no choice, which I always think that parents should have the choice.
Right.
I think that parents should always have the option that they can opt out, that they can say, you know, I don't want my kid in that.
Definitely.
I don't want me, you know, we don't have to do this, right?
Right.
I think parents should always have the option.
Right.
I am 100% in favor of parents being free to make the best educational decisions for their kids, to make the best moral decisions for their kids, and having the autonomy to be able to do that and the power to be able to do that. That's 100% where I stand. If we have to have mandatory, and I don't mean, when I say mandatory, I mean that the school has to teach it. I don't mean that the kid has to sit in there if the parent says no. When I say mandatory, and I think that's another thing that's important, is we have to define our terms.
Yeah.
So let me define that term for you. When I say mandatory, I don't mean that your kid has to listen. I mean mandatory because the state says that the school has to teach it because it's a public institution.
Yeah.
So if we have to have mandatory sex ed, which I disagree with.
Right.
But I don't see, you know, you're not getting that toothpaste back into the tube. That's going to stay, right? But if we have to have mandatory sex education, I think it should be limited in its scope.
Mm.
I think it should be extremely limited in its scope. comprehensive sexual education, as you will hear as we go through this, and again, a strong word of caution, we need to be very careful with what our kids are learning. And I think so often when we hear, because we mentioned this a few weeks ago, we kind of gave a little mention to what's happening in California, but we didn't drill into that. And today and tomorrow, we're going to drill down into what is comprehensive sex education and what you need to watch for as it makes its way to your state and why you need to be on guard. What we are also going to look at is we're going to look at the spiritual implications as to why parents are failing to protect their children in this area. It's not just the role of school administrators. In fact, I wouldn't even bank on them doing that. It's not. It's not their role.
Mm-hmm.
It's not their responsibility. It is the role and the responsibility of parents. Parents are the first lines of defense for their children.
That's right.
Now, I want to look at, as we often do, I want to look at the spiritual implications of where we're going in this country and why we are losing the battle to train our children in godliness and righteousness. I want to set this up, and then I want to move into some information and kind of give an additional backdrop. It's crazy. It's multi-layered. But I'm going to set it up and then I'll move into it and get some additional information that we can talk about, kind of have a conversation around. But first, let me say this. And I want to start with this anecdote. About a year ago, maybe earlier this year, because here we are in August. So earlier this year, beginning of the year, I went to see my doctor, right? And my doctor said something to me, and it was great. It was great information. You know, he said, well, Miss Addison, if you are... he said, if you are the sickest patient that I see today, you know, I would be out of a job. In other words, you're pretty healthy. And I thought, wow, thanks. That's great. Like, that's great information. I really appreciate that. And we were about to wrap up the visits, routine, just, you know, well check, whatever, mm-hmm. about to wrap up the visit. And I said to my doctor, I called his name and I said, wait a minute. I said, you didn't say anything. You didn't notice that I've lost like 15 pounds. And so he goes over to his computer and he goes to check like my last checkup to see what my weight was, you know, and he goes, oh, you did. And I was like, I thought you would notice. I thought you would say, and I see you're losing weight. And so all of these things are a part of like my health, right? This is my physical. This is me getting, right. you know, and then my doctor says something that I'm going to use sort of to illustrate where I think the problem is in the American family today. And then how we can talk about where sexual education comes in on that front. Okay. So my doctor says something to me, and it's a joke, and it's very, very sweet. We both laughed at it, but it kind of stuck in the back of my mind. He was sitting on the stool right across from me, and he said, man, you did lose weight. And he said, that's excellent. He said, but you know, we don't mention weight to anybody around here. And jokingly kind of pointed, he had just a little bit of a belly, you know, he kind of pointed to his belly and he said, you know, I'm never, ever gonna mention that because, you know, and here was the understanding. The understanding is, because I'm probably not physically where I need to be.
Mm.
Now, this is his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not physically where I need to be, I'm not going to talk to other people about where they need to be physically. So somebody else can do that. But, you know, good job on your losing the 15 pounds. But I'm never going to criticize you if you gain them back, in other words. Right? Yeah. Like, it's okay. I mean, you know. So I left the doctor's office all those months ago. And I'd been thinking about that. It's coming back to my mind, you know, over and over and over again. And it came to my mind again and in preparation and thinking about what we were going to talk about over the next few days.
Yeah.
And when you talk about the first line of defense for our children, it is the family.
That's right. Amen.
That's the first institution that's set up by God.
Amen.
So listen, when the family fails, the family then also tends to forfeit its responsibility to speak on issues of moral rightness and wrongness because there's a failure there. So the family is like, well, look, far be it from us to talk about that because look at us, right? So now let me say this. You may or may not know that 16% of families in the United States of America, 16, hear me well, 16% of American families today are the biblical prescription for family. Now you just brace yourself. You stiffen your backbone because I'm going to say some things that if you have failed in this area, whether it was your fault or somebody else's fault,
mm-hmm.
if there's a deficit in this area, this is about to offend you. But that's exactly the way the enemy wants it. That's why he wants our families to fail. He wants our families to be broken and destroyed. Because when the families are broken, when the families are destroyed, when there's a failure, then we can't speak out with the type of biblical authority that is required in this hour.
Mm. Wow.
So right now, in the United States of America, only 16% of families look 16. Like the following. 16% wow. of families look like the following. One man, mm-hmm. one woman, married, raising their children.
Mm. Oh, man. You can't win
now,
like that.
When you hear it and you think 16% is kind of low, Miki. I don't know. Man, go check really me. Low. That's pure research. You can go check the facts. Okay. Now, but when you think of what I just described to you, you can see how that's possible.
Yeah.
Because if you think, okay, well, no, hold on a second. I have a family here. This is not divorce and remarriage.
Right.
This is not cohabitation. This is not grandparents raising kids. And so you've got the right. grandma and the granddad. Right. I'm not talking about the physical bodies, the presence of male, female
right.
raising children. I'm talking about one man,
mm-hmm.
one woman,
mm-hmm.
you know, we yeah. define that as marriage, the picture of Christ and the church.
That's right.
Okay. Raising their children. Their children.
So never been married, not a divorce.
Exactly right.
And a remarriage. But the original ones.
Intact.
Intact and married and, now, and having children. Okay.
Black Lives Matter calls that the Western prescription for family. In other words, that's a white description of family, according to Black Lives Matter. You can go to the website, check them out. I try, as much as I can, I try to speak in facts. If I don't know, I'm going to tell you I don't know. So you get ready for that. You may be shocked some days that you call and you're like, hey, Miki, and I will tell you I don't know. Because I think it's better to be honest with you than to try to look good.
Because mm-hmm.
you're going to fail. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail, right? So as much as I can, I try to speak in facts, right? The facts that I know. So you can go check Black Lives Matter's website and you can find that information. Black Lives Matter calls what I just described to you a Western prescription for family. As a matter of fact, that which I just described to you is a biblical prescription
That's right.
for family.
That's right.
When the family is broken, we tend to not speak so vehemently on matters of truth in other areas because we feel we are disqualified.
Mm.
Do you know that that's why the enemy wants pastors to fall and stumble, especially in the area of sexuality?
Come on.
Because a pastor who is addicted to pornography, mm-hmm. a pastor who has had an extramarital affair, mm-hmm. a pastor who has a wandering eye, mm-hmm. a pastor who is given to sensuality, will not preach, will not teach on those areas. Nothing dealing with human sexuality. They will leave it alone because of the strong conviction that they feel
they
that they are a
ineffective,
hypocrite.
Ineffective to even talk about that. They won't even bring it up because of the personal aspect of what's going on.
So now imagine that only 16% of families would at a base level feel empowered to speak about the truths of God's word
wow.
as it pertains to healthy sexual relationships, God's definition of marriage, and what the family is supposed to look like. So what I'm telling you is that we've got a dearth. What I'm telling you is that there is a huge void right now in the United States of America, and we won't talk about these issues because we have failed. Well, let me let you off the hook. One of the best things that we can do for our children is to confess and to be forthright with our failures.
That's right.
That is one of the best things that we can do for our children, to say God's standard is still his standard. And though I have missed the mark, the standard has not been moved. It has not changed. The temptation is to say that my normal is a new standard. Friend, sister, brother, it is not. Because the standard didn't begin with you. The straight edge is the word of God, not your current situation.
That's right.
So if we are to stand against what's happening in our public school system as it pertains to sexual education, we've got to first, take a look at our families. All right, we got to grab the break. Aaron the Addisons, American Family Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Erin the Addisons on American Family Radio. We invite you to connect with us in several different ways, and here to tell you what you've won is Will yes. the Great Addison.
Well, you can email us if you would like, Addisons with an S at the end, Addisons@AFR.net, Addisons@AFR.net. You can follow us on Facebook at Erin the Addisons, search Erin the Addisons. You can follow us on Twitter at Erin Addisons. Make sure you go to our Marriage, Family, and Life Facebook page. That's at MFL Ministry, Marriage, Family, Life, the Facebook page. And we just loaded today the videos from this past conference. So if you want to check out some of the sermons and the messages and the presentations and the panel discussions from the conference this year, you can go and follow us on Marriage, Family, Life, the Facebook page, or you can go to Erin the Addisons page and you can find it there. Make sure that you subscribe to our podcast. Just go to AFR.net, and under the podcast page, you can find all the information there and also sign up for the Marriage, Family, Life email list. And that's it.
Again, a word of caution. Listener discretion is strongly advised. I'm not sure how far we're going to get into the discussion, which is why we're breaking it up over the next 2 or 3 days. We'll take a little bit of a break tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to talk about socialism and the growing affinity for socialism among millennials and Gen Z. So that's going to be interesting. We'll have a guest on with us who wrote a blog post recently. And I read it and I thought, I want to talk to her. So she's going to be on with us tomorrow. Okay. And so we'll do that, have a little bit of, and it's just one segment. So we'll have a break and then kind of get back into it and then pick up with it on Wednesday. Because there is a lot that I want to share with you. There's a lot that I think you need to know that needs to be on your radar. And so I hope that you'll listen. But each one of those days, I will be sure to give you a word of caution, because I do radio as a mom because I listen to radio as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to podcasts as a mom.
And we know, and so kids are always around. Like, you may have your kids with you. You know,
oh,
you might not
goodness.
Want them to be, you know, on this information at this time. So,
and I tell you, you know, one of the worst feelings, that sinking feeling in your stomach, is to have someone introduce a concept to your kid that you, because you know your children and you know they're not ready for you to dissect that, to break it down, to talk about that with them. And so that's just such a sinking feeling. We have had that feeling, actually. We have, where you go, oh, no, don't. Oh, you said that, you know. And even listening to Christian radio. And it's not that what was spoken of was inappropriate,
right,
point blank.
Right.
It was just inappropriate for that age.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so we try to be mindful of that, and we try to give you a word of caution. So having said that, the word of caution is officially in place, because we're about to get into the thick of it.
Okay.
We're turning our attention to sex education, or as it's being called now, and it's working its way around the country. It's not just in California, folks. It's not just in Oregon. It's not just in New Jersey. It's not just in Virginia. It's working its way around the country, and there are people who are a part of influential think tanks who want exactly what is happening. And so, and let me tell you something. Sometimes you got to go kind of, you know, into the belly of the beast to figure out where these people want to go.
Yeah.
You've got to read their material to see what they think is good, so you know that inevitably this is ultimately where they hope we end up as a society, where
right.
they hope we end up
oh,
as
yeah.
a culture,
yeah.
right? So you've got to read leftist material. You've got to read, you know, studies done by leftists, and as they call themselves, progressives, and all of this stuff. But you got to read their information, and then you got to switch it in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to say, okay, so pretty much the opposite of everything that they've just said.
Yeah, you
right?
know, one thing I've learned too, even looking at their stuff, is that they've been doing this for years in
a
preparation for like what's being manifested now. And it seems like, you know, they've been studying and putting these ideas into print and all kind of things for years.
That's right.
And we are behind the curve on it. We you know,
no,
just catching up, seem like.
They are the wicked witch, you know, I'll bide my time.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
Exactly.
They will circle the wagons. They will out-strategize us. And this is unfortunate. And in fact, this grieves me, because we serve the Creator, the only wise God.
Amen.
So for them to be in a position where they are out-strategizing us, it doesn't mean that we have a lack of resources, meaning access to the Lord God.
Mm.
It just means that we're lazy, y'all.
Oh, man.
It just means that we have, like, when I was in high school, my teacher said, you got the don't wants. You just, you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where a lot of us Christians who are also politically conservatives, that's where we find ourselves. We just kind of don't want. So so what I did, and I want to use this as a backdrop here. And again, we're going to weave into this, the spiritual implications of what we're talking about. Although I don't think we need to make grand leaps here. I think that people are sharp enough and parents are protective enough of their kids that when you hear this information, you're like, this is wicked.
Yeah.
This is absolutely wicked. So again, some of the buzzwords that you're going to hear over the next few days, comprehensive sex ed, modernize sexual education. All right. So I went to the Center for American Progress's website to kind of investigate where they are hoping that this country, liberal think tank, right, self-described, their aim is not just to change the conversation, but to change the country. All right, that's their aim. So what they do is they are trying to shape national debates. That's what they're trying to do, but also affect policy, right? And so when these liberal think tanks are trying to, that's why our conservative think tanks are also important.
Right.
That's why it's also important. OK, that's why I say we have to have a total approach. We've got to be active in politics. We've got to be engaged politically. We've got to be working at home. We got to be protecting the church. Man, I have this illustration that I use all the time. Sometimes when I look at what is happening in our country, I feel like a goalie.
Yeah.
I feel like because it's coming from every different direction. And you've got to block that.
Yeah.
So anyways, so I was looking at some of their information from 2018 and 2019. As they were looking at the states that are getting it right. Now, remember, we're talking about a liberal think tank, so you're going to have to make a switch in your mind. They're looking at the states that are getting it right. Now, when I mentioned the states that they say, the center, they being the Center for American Progress, when I mentioned the states that they say are getting it right, what I want to do is I want to toggle to that state and talk about what they have implemented, in particular, Oregon and California.
Yeah.
Okay. I listened to a podcast, a Daily Signal podcast, where two moms from Rockland, California, were interviewed about the comprehensive sex ed curriculum that has been introduced in the state. All right. Statewide, this comprehensive sex ed curriculum has been introduced.
Mm-hmm.
I was embarrassed as I listened. I was uncomfortable as I listened. I was disgusted. And ultimately, I was grieved that there are children who are subjected to what is called comprehensive sexual education as it has been manifested or as it has been rolled out in curricula across California. So without going any further into California specifically, let me paint big picture. According to the Center for American Progress, and we're going to look at what they said in 2018 and then look at how they've made gains in 2019 and where ultimately they hope to go. So they use California, New Jersey and Oregon as model examples of teaching healthy relationships as part of sexual education. Here is what they say on their website. In a couple of their studies, actually, 2018, 2019. All three of these states, California, New Jersey, and Oregon, require educators to use materials that are medically accurate and include instruction related to healthy relationships or consent. Now, the instruction related to healthy relationships or consent is another thing that we need to focus on and be really concerned. Because what we are no longer talking about is the biology involved in sexual education. Now we are talking about sexual practice.
Mm.
Now we are talking about, and if we get to it today, if not, it'll be tomorrow. We'll look specifically at what they have rolled out in California. And again, I've already given you a word of caution. It will make you blush.
Yeah.
If you still have the ability to blush,
you will
blush. And just keep in mind that this is rolled out for our children, okay? The California Healthy Youth Act, which specifically is what we're going to focus on, for example, was enacted in 2016. It requires instruction on adolescent growth and development, body image, gender, sexual orientation, relationships, marriage and family, as well as how to have healthy, positive, and safe relationships and behaviors. This is no longer, you're entering into puberty. This is, you remember the videos where they were skipping and they would, you know, they had all the little black dots because it was so outdated, you know what I mean? And your body's going to be changing. No, this is not what this is.
Right.
This is not. And if you think that this is sexual education from 20 or 25 years ago, you're sorely mistaken. And in fact, you put your kids in danger because of that ignorance. New Jersey state standards were revised in 2014 to require instruction promoting discussion on understanding in regard to human sexual behavior, sexual feelings, and sexual values.
Sexual values,
people. This is no longer objective biological presentation.
Wow.
This is subjective now. Now we are getting into the realm where we're talking about what is valuable.
Mm.
I want you to understand this as it pertains to human sexuality. Additional state standards mandate education about sexual assault, prevention, and dating violence. And one of the other things that they do, and this is what Satan does because he is wicked. He weaves into his deception something that is true, maybe something that is good, that would be generally accepted as good, but it's overwhelmingly tainted by the fact that it comes from the wicked one, and it is, in fact, wicked, right? So when you look at our sexual education standards, what is now being called comprehensive sex ed, that once liberal progressives want this to sweep the nation. So please do not tell me. And let me say this, and I say this respectfully, but I say it unapologetically, all right? I'm not sorry that I'm about to say this. Do not tell me that you live in a small town and that your kid is protected from the liberal leftist agenda. You're under a cloud.
Come on.
Okay, you're under a cloud. Because there is not a teacher who wants to maintain his or her job who will go against the grain when they are instructed to teach something that is state standards. That's why we work in political spheres to make sure it never becomes a state standard.
That's right.
So the teacher who goes against the state standard is the teacher who packed up her desk that morning. You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
I'm going against state standards and I'm going to sit right here on this desk and we are going to learn a biblical definition of human sexuality. Please. Do not tell me that your kid is insulated. Do not. That's why we implore and encourage culture-proof your kids.
Amen.
Because the enemy wants you to be under a happy delusion that your kid will never be affected by so-called state standards that won't trickle down in small-town USA. In 2009, years before New Jersey's revised state standards in the California Healthy You Act, Oregon set a high bar by implementing standards that require comprehensive, there it is again, comprehensive sex education in public schools. The law emphasizes, quote, the characteristics of the emotional, physical, and psychological aspects of healthy relationships. Now, one of the other things that you're going to see as they are trying to normalize abhorrent sexual behavior among children. They are trying to normalize, I repeat, abhorrent sexual behavior among children. One of the other things that you're going to see is that this is going to fall under the guise of a new and revised sex ed curriculum that includes informed consent. I'm sorry, not informed consent, consent, meaning that kids now learn how to give consent. Informed consent belongs, that's the right of the parent. But for the kid now, one of the buzzwords will be, hey, we're revising our sex ed standards.
So that the kids can just give consent and that's it?
No. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm glad you, let me make this very clear. So one of the other buzzwords that you will hear is that we need to revise our sex education curriculum because it doesn't include adequate information on consent, meaning the kid learning what is and what isn't consent for sexual activity among their peers.
Gotcha. Okay.
So this is being pushed out because this would be something that people who are not discerning would say, hey, we do want our kid to learn how to say no, and we do want our kid to learn what is no. Let me tell you something. You're the parent. You are the parent.
Newsflash.
If you can't have a conversation with your child about God's definition and God's design for human sexuality, where'd you get your parenting certificate? Like where'd you get your credentials? And like and a lot of us are we're like, well, we never got those credentials.
And you know what? I think in that in what you're saying, man, it's partially I think the job of our fellowships to be able to help our parents to communicate this stuff. Like, why not? Why don't we have, you know, biblical ways to communicate to our children what's going on here? You know, it seemed like that's practical living, you know, for the people of God. We're going to have to come to these issues within our families. And I think a lot of parents feel like they're not equipped to even talk about it.
Not equipped. And I think really kind of checked out. That,
yeah, that's true.
Number one, my kid is not exposed to that. Yeah. Therefore, I don't have to worry about it. Or number two, the job of the school includes this instruction. And they're going to do a thorough and trustworthy job.
Man.
That's a problem, saints.
They're going to indoctrinate your child. That's what they're going to do.
That is absolutely what they're seeking to do.
Man.
All right, let me open the phone lines. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We'll begin taking your calls on the other side of this break. Stay close. Welcome back to Aaron the Addisons on American Family Radio. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will. And that's Judith McAllister. Oh, give thanks.
Sherry B is over in Studio CC, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We'll go to your phone calls in just a minute. I just want to give you some more information because we're looking at the Center for American Progress and talking about where they want to go with comprehensive or modernized sexual education all across this country. This is what they want. And they hold up California as sort of being this beacon of a state that is kind of already where they want to be.
Yeah.
So what you should be asking yourself at this point is, well, what's happening in California, right? So where exactly do they want to go? Let me put the disclaimer firmly in place again. This is not suitable for young listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be very, very careful here to stress this is not suitable for young listeners. So if you've got little ears or even teenage ears, look, it's embarrassing. But I want you to understand that as you see sweeping this country, terms like comprehensive sexual education and modern sex education or modernized sex education, or even making provisions to add instruction on consent for young adults. What they also pack in that is inclusivity, right? So in other words, if you're going to reteach sex education or if you're going to open the doors for a new curriculum to come into your school, then you've got to take all that they're pushing. Let me give you an example. I was listening to two parents from California talk about what they discovered about this comprehensive sexual education curriculum that is in California schools. And here's something that is important to note. And I want to say this because as Christians, there should not be an apathetic bone in our body.
Yeah.
As Christians, we should be spiritually more discerning. We should understand the time. We should understand the hour that we are in. We should be making the most of the time, redeeming the days. Like we shouldn't be sitting on our hands just going, oh, well, you know, I went to school and look at how I turned out. Let me tell you something. You turned out the way you turned out. And that's the grace of God. It's not because you went to school. It's in spite of the fact that you went to school. If we could just be honest. If we can just be honest. Look, I didn't avoid premarital sexual activity because they gave me a 5-pound bag of flour to carry around like a baby for 2 weeks. You understand what I'm saying? That's not what protected me or insulated me. No, it was understanding that God has a standard for human sexuality and it is within the bounds of marriage. That's
That's what we need to be getting to our children.
Right.
So let's go to California, because the Center for American Progress holds up where they want to go in this country, and they use California, New Jersey, and Oregon. Let's go to California. So these two moms say that they are parents at a school where there's about 500 seventh grade students at this school. 500 seventh grade students, and the school doles out its new curriculum on sexual education. The parents are invited to come to an informational meeting. You want to know how many parents were at that meeting? There's 500 seventh graders.
500 seventh graders. Okay.
500 seventh graders. Okay. There were 20 parents.
Wow.
20 parents at this meeting. Man. And what these two women learned after attending this meeting was that this new curriculum has 13 lessons, 13 45-minute lessons. So it's in a 3-inch thick binder, right? Mm. One of those 3-inch ring binders.
Right.
13 lessons. But here's the thing. As you start to break down those lessons, there are also links, and there are also additional lessons that the teachers can pull in that are not necessarily included in the 13 lessons that the parents were going through. Now, again, I've already put the disclaimer in place, and I apologize to you ahead of time. It is not my intent to embarrass or offend you. But let me tell you something. This is the information that they want to get to your 12-year-old. So if you're listening to me, and you're over the age of 12 and you're offended, I want you to take a step back and understand that this was in the curriculum for seventh graders. For seventh graders. Listen carefully. Disclaimer, not suitable for young kids. According to one of the moms, there is a sex ed toolkit that's available to teachers to use and present to their students, where they have a whole page on sex toys. They teach the kids about the different materials that those sex toys might be made of. They tell the kids to be sure to clean them before passing it off to a partner or moving from one hole to another. They also have a little box at the bottom of a picture that says, if you don't have money to buy sex toys. And I won't even go into it, but it describes other things that will work that you have around your house.
Wow.
According to this mom from California, as she and another mom went through the curriculum and went through the hyperlinks and diligently researched what their kids were going to be taught, this is what they found. There's also a lot of interactive lessons. I'm quoting her, which is really concerning. There's one lesson for seventh graders where every kid in the class is given a card. And their card either has a body opening card or a body fluid card. So some of the kids will have a card that says vagina or anus or mouth. Then other kids will have anal fluids, blood, saliva, and semen. So the kids who have body opening cards are to go around the classroom and find their friends or find the people who have body fluid cards, then make a match. And those kids are supposed to determine based on that match if they could transmit HIV.
Wow.
Now, I want you to understand, this is a part of California's comprehensive sexual education curriculum. The moms go on. Then, of course, in the health framework, which was just passed, it gets even worse. So this is a framework. It's not yet curriculum, but it will be showing up in kids' classrooms in a few years. They have suggested supplemental books for kids to read. There's a book that's meant for fifth graders. There is a book that is meant for fifth graders that teaches them about the G-spot. It lists 20 different slang words for their private parts.
Wow.
There's another book that's meant for fifth graders. So here's your 9 and 10-year-olds. That has a section on mutual masturbation and oral sex. Fifth graders. 9, 10, 11 years old. This is what is meant. When people say we need to have comprehensive sex education, we need to modernize our sexual education for kids. This is the goal and the aim, that this would make its way all across the country. Let's go to the phone lines. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Will the Great, where do we go first?
All right. We go to Jared in Ohio. Hi, Jared.
Hi, guys. Just very quickly, just a little bit ago, you mentioned that one of Satan's tricks about these kinds of things is, you know, the little bit of truth that he puts in. I just want to share with you really quickly something that one of my professors in college had said. I went to a Christian college, and this professor said just that when it comes to these kind of things, rat poison is 98% cornmeal.
Excellent.
Just think about that.
Yep. Yep. Point well made. Point well made.
That's all it Excellent.
Takes. Excellent. Thank you so much. I mean, what else can we say? I think everyone got his point. Excellent point. Let's go back to the phone lines. Will the Great, who's next?
Billy in Oklahoma. Hey, Billy.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just want to make a statement that this is just a vicious cycle. And they talk about freedom, but actually it seems like Planned Parenthood is behind it. They're trying to make their customers in advance indoctrinating the children and then telling them how to get an abortion. Because right now, you might not know it, but there are places where young, underage people can get abortions without telling their parents. Even though you can't give an aspirin to a child without calling the parents, they taking them where they can get abortion, and then they having them stand up talking about equal rights. And this is from the guys of 1984. They call it, beware this little catchword, rights of the child. They call it rights of the child, but it actually takes away the rights of the parents. Mm. That's the whole guideline, and that's what I had to say.
That's an excellent point. That is an excellent point. In fact, I want to say, oh, man, I'm forgetting the state where there are a bunch of parents recently, maybe in the last year, who rallied against Planned Parenthood trying to bring its own curriculum to their school to teach their kids sex education. Look, and even on college campuses, you've got Planned Parenthood wanting to put in vending machines that vend abortion drugs. Like, look, this is wicked. This is absolutely wicked.
It is.
And they are trying to start at the youngest possible age with our kids and indoctrinate them until they die.
Yeah,
that's what they're trying to do.
Exactly.
This is why we keep saying you've got to culture proof your kid.
That's right.
You have got to do the duty. Take your responsibility seriously as a parent.
Yeah.
If you're doing it right, it is exhausting. Let me tell you, listen to me, parents who love Jesus. If you are parenting your kid well, you are worn out. You are exhausted. You're long and you're like, look, if you are parenting your kid well, you're like the Apostle Paul, because you're like, man, what can I say? I know that to be in this life is going to mean labor for me. Right? It's like, man, like, you know, I would like to be with the Lord, but man, to be here with you, I need to help you. You know, you have this conflict. I mean, look, I feel it. I feel it. We are raising five children that we do not for one second apologize for culture proofing.
Amen.
The culture cannot have our children. And I hope you feel the same way. I hope that you wake up every day and it's not how can you just self-aggrandize. I hope it's not how can I get more? How can I? I hope that your goal and your aim as you hold your kids, some of them you still tuck in at night. Others of them you go, you sneak in, you kiss them after they've already fallen asleep. Wherever you are, I hope that you feel the same way that we feel about our children. Listen, we are supposed to be passing down our faith to the next generation.
Amen. Amen.
So how can you do that when the culture is stealing them from you? They're robbing you of your children and your heritage and your legacy. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to just, I don't know why these parents are so stressed out. Like, I mean, it doesn't take all that. It takes all of that. And let me tell you something. It also takes some stuff that I just don't even have some days.
That it doesn't take all that is deception. Like,
it's a lie.
It really is. You know, it lulls you to sleep and you feel like, hey, just like you said earlier, well, we went to school and it was, man, the game has changed. It's different.
I didn't understand how much it meant, and we'll go back to the phone lines here. I was raised by a single mom. I was raised in a fatherless household, which is what I prefer to say because it speaks of the great deficit, the great void that was present. Single mom almost sounds a little bit kind of like pop culture-ish, and it's kind of cool now, right? But I was raised in a fatherless home, and I didn't understand growing up exactly what it meant that my mom was praying for me, that my mom was interceding for me. I look back on my childhood and my young adulthood, certainly my teenage years, and I am so grateful that my mom, as my daughter would describe, was extra with me. that she was diligent in praying for me and teaching me the word of God, that she didn't move the standard because she missed the mark. So my dad left my mom. They were divorced. Can you imagine the damage that it would have done to me if my mom would have just ignored that marriage, one man, one woman, is God's design, that sexual intercourse is reserved for that institution? Like, can you imagine? And we've got kids right now whose parents won't broach the topic because maybe they were impure before they got married. So they won't say, because I can't talk. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Rebuke that lie.
You have to. You have to. And you have to be prepared, because sometimes your kid's going to ask you the question, well, did you do that? And that's where in humility and at the leading of the Spirit of God, he indwells you, by the way.
Amen.
That's where in humility you say, you know what? I didn't. And I thank God for his grace and his forgiveness. And I have suffered the emotional scars of that. I have suffered the trauma of that. And I understand better than you might imagine that what God has designed is the absolute best.
Amen.
You don't let the enemy shame you or accuse you. He is daily the accuser of the brethren. But Jesus Christ is now making intercession for you. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified. So if you miss the mark and now your kid is asking you questions, you don't let missing the mark keep you from giving them the truth.
Amen.
You want them to not say that you're a hypocrite, then you tell them the truth. If you had problems in your marriage and your marriage failed and your kids are at the age where they know, they're feeling, you tell them the truth. You tell them the truth and then you give them the truth. All right, I'm going to squeeze in one more call, Will the Great. Who do we have? We've got 30 seconds.
Kenny in Oklahoma. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, Nikki and Will. Thank you very much for addressing this issue. I'm telling you, thank you so much. The little children being indoctrinated in our public schools with all of this filth and sin and perversion, it's surely the greatest sin in America. It's just as wicked as abortion. So thank you once again. Where are the pastors? Where are the parents? How can we find out what is going on in our states, our towns? How many schools are promoting this perversion?
That's an excellent question.
School?
No, it's not. Kenny, that's an excellent question. And actually, we have that on the docket. Tomorrow, I hope that you'll listen, because we're going to look at some of the states that are adopting comprehensive sexual education. Parents need to be involved. You need to be affiliated with your school board. You need to know what's happening in your kid's school. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. I hope that you'll listen. Until tomorrow, Lord willing.
God bless.